The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the second chapter. Now, every year, Jesus and parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. The Gospel and of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm sure we all have our own ways of preparing for Christmas. For me, mine includes, of course, and finding good CDs with Christmas music on it. I sort of skip the ones about and Grandma getting run over by a reindeer. And then I also like to dig out the DVDs. So yes, I watched The Miracle on 34th Street, the first inversion from 1948 or whenever it was. I also watch It's a Wonderful Life, and several versions if I get a chance of A Christmas Carol. But nothing quite is as good, and none of those, of course, are as good as actually digging out the book and reading it. So yes, I also try and read A Christmas Carol, which Dickens says is actually a ghost story, which it is. So I think that there are some things that I find here that would be informative and for us. You might know the story, of course, that Scrooge, who has lived his life in as stingy a way as he possibly could and has found some degree of success in that, is one more time preparing for Christmas Eve and is visited by his associate, Jacob Marley, as a ghost. Jacob has been dead for 7 years now. And apparently in those 7 years, Jacob has been receiving quite a bit of insight about life and actually has some things to share with us. So here goes. If you have your blankie and a stuffed an animal, just go ahead and relax for story time here. "Man of the worldly mind," replied the ghost, do you believe in me or not?" "I do," said Scrooge, "I must. But why do spirits walk the earth, and why do they come to me?" "It is required of every man," the ghost returned, "that the spirit within him should walk abroad among his fellow men and travel far and wide. And if that spirit goes not forth in life, it is condemned to do so after death. It is doomed to wander through the world, oh, woe is me, and witness what it cannot share but might have shared on earth and turned to happiness. Again the specter raised the crowd and shook its chain and wrung its shadowy hands. You are fettered, said Scrooge, trembling. Tell me why. I wear the chain I forged in life, replied the ghost. I made it link by link and yard by yard. I girded it on of my own free will, and of my own free will I wore it. Is its pattern strange to you? Scrooge trembled more and more. Or would you know, pursued the ghost, the weight and length of the strong coil you bear yourself? It was full, as heavy and as long as this, 7 Christmas Eves ago. You have labored on it since. It is a ponderous chain. Scrooge glanced about him on the floor in the expectation of finding himself surrounded by some 50 or 60 fathoms of iron cable, but he could see nothing. Jacob, he said imploringly, old Jacob Marley, tell me more. Speak comfort to me, Jacob. I have none to give, the ghost replied. It comes from other regions, Ebenezer Scrooge, and is conveyed by other ministers to other kinds of men. Nor can I tell you what I would. A very little more is all that is permitted to me. I cannot rest, I cannot stay, I cannot linger anywhere. My spirit never walked beyond our counting house. Mark me, in life, my spirit never roved beyond the narrow limits of our money-changing hole, and weary journeys lie before me. It was a habit with Scrooge, whenever he became thoughtful, to put his hands in his breeches pocket. Pondering on what the ghost had said, he did so now, but without lifting up his eyes or getting off his knees. You must have been very slow about it, Jacob, Scrooge observed in a businesslike manner, though with humility and deference. Slow, the ghost repeated. 7 years dead, mused Scrooge, and traveling all the time? The whole time, said the ghost. No rest, no peace, incessant torture of remorse. You travel fast, said Scrooge. On the wings of the wind, replied the ghost. You might have got over a great quantity of ground in 7 years, said Scrooge. The ghost, on hearing this, and set up another cry, and clanked its chain so hideously in the dead and silence of the night that the ward would have been justified in indicting it for a nuisance. Oh, captive, bound in double an iron, cried the phantom, not to know that ages of incessant labor by immortal creatures for this earth must pass into eternity before the good of which it is susceptible is all developed. Not to know that any Christian spirit working kindly in its little sphere, whatever it may be, will find its mortal life too short for its vast means of usefulness. Not to know that no space of regret can make amends for one's life's an opportunities misused. Yet such was I, oh, such was I. But you were always a good man of business, Jacob, and faltered Scrooge, who now began to apply this to himself. Business, cried the ghost, wringing his hands again. Mankind was my business. The common welfare was my business. Charity, mercy, forbearance, and benevolence were all my business. The dealings of my trade were but a drop of water in the comprehensive ocean of my business. It held up its chain at arm's length, as if that were the cause of all its unavailing grief, and flung it heavily upon the ground again. At this time of the rolling year, the specter said, I suffer most. Why did I walk through crowds of fellow beings with my eyes turned down and never raise them to that blessed star, which led the wise men to a poor abode? Were there no poor homes to which its light would have conducted me? The text today is full of all kinds of really meaty things for preachers. You can work with the connection between and Jesus, the young boy becoming a man, and Samuel. You can work with the ideas of being in the temple. You can work with the relationship between Jesus and mom and dad. You can work with the assurance that both and Samuel and Jesus grew in stature, in wisdom, and in favor with God. But today, we are going to focus on what isn't there. There's actually a missing word. This is not a mistake. It's the way it works in the Greek. There are times that the noun itself that we might expect to be there as the object of the sentence or the phrase is missing, and it falls to the reader or to the hearer to insert the right thing. Now, since we are not used to this, generally it is inserted for us in some way. Now, we've seen this in other places. When Jesus confronts and Peter after, and Peter comes to him and says, "Jesus, should not be that you have to go to Jerusalem and suffer and at the hands of scribes and Pharisees and to be and persecuted and finally to die. This should not be." And Jesus turns to him, it says, and rebukes him and says, "Get behind me, Satan, for your mind is not on whatever it is of God, but it is on the whatever it is of men." And so oftentimes it is and translated as the things of God and the things of men. But obviously, it's more than a thing. In the same way, in this particular text, we come to a place where, and Jesus says, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's?" We don't know. So oftentimes, it is translated as house. Which, of course, makes sense because that's where Jesus was. But to speak about Jesus being in God's house is way too limiting for the understanding of the text. This is not just about Jesus being in a building. But Jesus sees things in a larger way. Oftentimes, it could be seen as it's also the interests. Did you not know that I must be doing the interests of my Father? Sometimes it is found as the business, that I must be about my Father's business. And that too has its problems because we oftentimes hear that in terms of occupation or whatever it might be. So we might be inclined to either assume that Jesus is saying, "I'm going to grow up and become a priest or a scribe." Well, that certainly was not the case. He very seldom did his preaching and teaching in a synagogue. And one time when he did, he was such a success that they wanted to stone him. So obviously that's not quite what is going on here. Is he talking about his Father's business in terms of being a carpenter like Joseph? Well, that just doesn't fit the idea either. It has to be larger. And this is where Jacob helps us. "Business," he cried, "mankind was my business. The common welfare was my business. Charity, mercy, forbearance, and benevolence were all my business. The dealings of my trade were but a drop of water in the comprehensive ocean of my business." Jesus is one who got it, but we too receive this same word, that we too are to be about our Father's business, not in terms of things that we do, but the opportunities that we have to walk among our sisters and brothers in this life, to be concerned about them enough to speak to them of goodness and grace and God's love in their lives. This is our business. To be the ones who use what we have to be a benefit, sometimes around the world, sometimes in just the people who are closest to us. This is our business. And in this particular text, it is so indefinite and has such a huge and wide gaping hole to fill. The only thing large enough is indeed the world itself. This is our business. Jesus, in some way, was wiser than all of the others. That's not surprising. But we would be wise as well to listen, to know that our business is to come before God and to be strengthened in such a way that, yes, we too grow in favor with God and in favor with and other people, to find and to discover the joy and the grace that is available to us in God's work, and to find our ways of getting at the business of God. It would take Scrooge a few more visits, but he figured it out. There are those among you who have figured it out as well. You know what your business is. God is one who speaks to us in love, but in large enough terms that it cannot be kept to ourselves, but must be shared. May the love of God continue to bring God's business to our door.